It's the old proverb, sometimes you got to stop and smell the roses. And that's exactly what it is. People forget to do that.
Some coworkers are so memorable, so ingrained in the culture of our office, that they start to feel like characters in a story that we're all living in. They have big, bold voices, distinct personalities. They clearly stand out from the rest. Then one day they retire, and their KPMG story, at least, ends. And we're left to wonder what became of them. In this episode, we're fortunate to be joined by one very unique character to tell us about the next chapter in his story. I'm Joe DeProspero. This is the Montel Muse. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Montvale Muse. Whether Town Hall sent you here or you're just a loyal listener, we appreciate you taking the time. I am Joe DeProspero. I'm joined by Gail Smith McCarthy. And Gail, we're here in Montvale Building 3 Studio, potentially for the last time with the upcoming sale of 3 Chestnut Ridge. A little weird, right? I mean, how does that make you feel?
Yeah, it's very surreal. I mean, I can remember so many things about this building, even the smells. Like, it's a very sensory experience to be in this building for me. So it is kind of a sad goodbye.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of memories here. And like you said, we're feeling nostalgic. I've been here since 2004, so a lot of time in person, a lot of meetings and lunches and, you know, wedding showers, baby showers, you name it. But a Montvale legend, somebody who's, I think, on the Mount Rushmore of KPMG personalities is here and is going to join us in a minute, and that is Ken Martelli, to talk a little bit about how retirement is treating him and some of his favorite Montvale memories. So really looking forward to that. So looking back at my time, Gail, and speaking of nostalgia, I really think that the one pivotal word for being on our campus is connection. You know, I remember so many memories here, but one that really jumps out to me and really speaks to the power of connection was I used to be in events and meetings. And back like 2014 or 15, I was on the team that put together our end of year town hall video. And I remember being in that tent during the town hall and as it played, looking around at all these people reacting to something that I'd helped put together. And they were laughing and they were applauding. And I said, I really want to have an impact on people. And I wouldn't have had that type of experience had we been remote, you know, so it just really spoke to how important it is at times to have that in-person connection. Mm-hmm. Just one of those things that's always going to stick out to me because it helped, you know, further motivate me and drive my career in trying to have people have an emotional connection to something I created. So what about you, Gail? What sticks out to you the most?
You know, I can still remember, even though I've been here over 10 years now, I still remember my first day on campus because I worked here in Building 3 for many years. And my first day on campus, walking into this building, just I remember the smell. I remember just the sun shining through the windows as I was walking down the hallway on the way to Building 4 to go to orientation and just feeling like I had come home. And that sounds very cliche, but I knew from the moment I first stepped onto this campus for my interview that this is where I wanted to be. So it's Building 3 always holds a special memory.
Yeah, same, Gail. You know, I did training in this building many moons ago. It was 20 years ago when it used to be a training center, and it's been a mainstay, you know, on this block here on Chestnut Ridge for many years, and it's going to be missed.
And I also remember some of the relationships that I formed were just from seeing the same people over and over. Maybe we had the same, you know, bio break schedule, or we had the same cafeteria schedule, or whatever it was, and passing people and finally taking the moment to say, hey, we see each other all the time. What's your name? So, you know, so many cool relationships were formed just by that being here in this one place.
Excellent point, Gail. And with that said, let's bring Ken into the studio. I cannot wait to hear from Ken.
Yes.
So welcome, Ken. It is an absolute thrill to have a KPMG legend in our midst. How you been?
I've been great. I'm happy that you asked me to join.
Ken, I'm sure a lot of people remember you from your time here in Montvale. So what have you been up to since retiring?
Living up in the Poconos, it's like living in a forest. I get up in the morning and I see deer on the lawn. I got beautiful buck up there. I mean, I take my dogs around for walks around the lakes. You know, I've seen bald eagles flying around looking for breakfast. I've got one bird that there are birds that come in from the south to try and eat fish from the lakes, and these things, they look like pterodactyls, for God's sakes. They open up their wingspans like four plus feet wide. These things are amazing, you know. But I love it up there. You know, again, it's like living in a forest. It's like it's beautiful. It's just tranquil. It gives you time to. You don't have the hustle and bustle that we had at KPMG. You're at peace with the world. Let me put it to you that way.
Ken, it sounds like we can set you up with a microphone and you can have a new like spot on National Geographic or something and do one of those wildlife narrations.
Well, over here, where I live, Channel 13 is the Poconos, so they can tell you all about it. So they don't need me. But again, it's a whole, listen to me. You know, I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, okay? I'm a city kid. But is it different? Totally. But it is, again, you know, like you said, when you put so many years in, And you go through all this, you know, hustle and bustle of the business, and then you come into this tranquil, peaceful kind of existence. It's a whole new world, and you say, my God, like, what have I missed all this time? It's the old proverb: sometimes you got to stop and smell the roses, and that's exactly what it is. People forget to do that.
Well, speaking of retirement, Ken, what is the one that you talk about? Things that you enjoy, and
yeah.
I'm curious, is there anything that surprised you that nobody prepared you for?
I was told, you know, once you retire, you're going to get bored. You're going to do it, it's the things, life is going to change drastically. But it didn't affect me that way. You know, my son would make fun of me. I lived in the Poconos for the past 10 years that I traveled to KPMG. So I spent an average of maybe between coming and going 5 hours a day on the road. So my son would make fun of me. He says, that's your second job is driving. I said, yeah, you're right. You know, but I says, but it pays the bills. What are you going to do? You know, you do what you have to do in life. That's the way I look at things, you know. But it was a great experience. You know, KPMG in and of itself was a different world for me. Again, you know, from construction, working with, you know, a different group of people on a construction site to a more formal setting within a business type setting, that in and of itself is a drastic change. You know, when the new guys, when Tony came in and I just wanted to, in other words, show that they, and Joe Reynolds took over for the business after Fred had left. I just wanted to get everybody knowledgeable of what it is exactly that had to be done in order for the business to carry on, you know, from an operations perspective, because Joey came from finance, Tony was new. And it was kind of like basically, you know, teaching them the ropes. Not that that I'm some great guru that, you know, they didn't know what they were doing. Of course they did, you know, but there were the nuances that we had to, you know, they had to discover, and going through all the contracts, being introduced to all the vendors, knowing exactly how we work the operation on a day-to-day basis. My crews, meaning the cleaning crews, the electricians, my staff, my maintenance staff, who, by the way, they're a great bunch of guys. I know Jesse's still there. And, you know, everybody did their job well, very well. And we all had a great relationship with all the employees at KPMG. And it was usually a first-name basis for all.
So, Ken, it sounds to me like you, because the fact that you left the firm in good hands with these new guys, that you felt
yes.
like you could enjoy your retirement because of that.
Absolutely. I have absolutely no regrets. And to your point, yes, when I finally retired, it was total enjoyment. Total enjoyment. I didn't leave behind any desires that I should have, could have, or would have.
So Ken, you talked about the hustle and bustle of your job when you
yeah.
were here. But what do you miss? Looking back, what do you miss most about being in the office as much as you were?
You know, my task was not sometimes an easy one, because there were requests that were made that were almost impossible to fill. So what took place is a negotiation between, let's say, some of the partners and myself, not myself personally, but of course the operation. You know, and sometimes you have to take the time. They would make a request that they would like something, either a different kind of chair, or a very ultra expensive chair, or something to that effect. And you'd have to explain, you try to negotiate with them, because you'd have to explain to them, you know, if I do for you, or if I do for one, I'm obligated to do for all. But most people are reasonable. I mean, the requests weren't usually through the roof, but there was always this negotiation going back. And that's what made part of the job, because that's what made it interesting. You know, you get to use your skill as we used to influence people. It's how do you influence other people? And it's listen, sometimes, you know, you bite the bear and sometimes the bear bites you, but that's the way it goes.
I love the fact that you said that, Ken, because that makes it so unique to you, because that's part of the job that I would not enjoy. The back and forth, yeah. The dealing with the uncomfortable conversation. The fact that you enjoy that part of the give and the take and communicating and coming to a resolution is says a lot about you.
I guess it comes down to the United States Army, because you learn a lot in the service, especially in days of old. Like, I used to have a squad of guys to put on the line if necessary. And you needed a backbone in order to negotiate, and that's the way it was. It was taken as a negotiation, not as you know, I'm telling you what you can and cannot do. You know what I'm saying? So it worked out well.
So Ken, you talked earlier about being really happy that you left things in good hands with the team that came in after you, so they could keep the torch burning here at the mm-hmm. firm. What are you most proud of all your time at KPMG?
Again, it was the origin of the Veterans Network. That was my best and my accomplishment that I have made. It was myself. I mean, I didn't do it alone. It was myself, Lenny Sabino, and it was Rich Levine. And again, between the three of us, you know, we started this group to help the veterans in the Paramus Veterans Home. That's really what was our main accomplishment was collecting. If you remember, I used to sell pins in the cafeteria to gain money in order to take these funds and give it to the Paramus Veterans Home. Now, we've sent just checks to help out with their funds. During the holidays, during the Christmas times, we'd sing carols. That was a feat in and of itself, but there was myself, you know, a bunch of people. I remember Tara Perino and Ken Smith used to play the piano. But again, we did what we could do to help entertain the vets and honor them, because some of these folks, I mean, there was – Caitlin showed me a brochure that she had saved. And there was a picture of me with one of the vets at the Paramus. His name was Henry. Henry used to wear a fedora, okay? And I felt bad, because the year after that picture was taken, we lost Henry. You know, he was an old World War II vet. Kind of liked him because he was like me. He was loud. He was always singing. He was, you know, I don't know if you remember, I used to sing through running, walking through the hallways.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because, again, you know, you got to be happy in life. You really do. That was my biggest and best accomplishment at KPMG. I think when we started, we had maybe 6 or 7 chapters, and I understand that today there's maybe 30 chapters. So also, it's the largest network within the KPMG organization, and I think that's quite an accomplishment in and of itself.
Huge accomplishment.
It sure is.
Yeah.
And thank you for that service and for your service and for all the legacy that has built, because our veterans certainly need the support, and many of those here at our firm as well.
Absolutely. But also in conjunction with, you know, it's trying to honor and serve the veteran. We also tried to support the families of the veteran, because, you know, when someone gets deployed, the entire family is affected. You know, the wife is without a husband, the kids are without a father up until he returns. You know, and so they too need, you know, support in order to go through their lives and wait for their, you know, husband or wife or brother or sister to return, you know. So it's not just the veteran itself, but it encompasses the entire, I guess, veteran family. So again, that's what we try to do is, and again, trying to get as many veterans as we could hired within KPMG, because I mean, sometimes there's some difficulty in translating an MOS, which is a military occupation, into a civilian occupation. We had people to help, to even help with that. There was an organization that used to sit with the vet, take all his duties, and try to put that into a resume so that it could be presented to an employer, preferably ours, but again, to anyone else like that he could seek employment.
And so, speaking of the families, Ken, there was a wonderful event that happened recently through our Veterans Network, and it was all about the military families and what they go through, their challenges, their struggles. I found it very enlightening. So if anybody out there listening is interested in listening to that, I would highly suggest giving it a listen. It's one of our KVNs, so there's a replay out there available.
So Ken, we have a lot of memories of you here in Montvale.
That's my name. Don't wear it out.
but looking back at your time at KPMG Montvale, what memories jump out to you when you look back?
Again, working with all my vendors, the cleaning crews. You know, you build relationships with all these people. The relationship was more like family in the sense that, you know, when you needed something done, it got done. There was never, oh, I can't do this or I can't do that. It was just a matter of fact. If I needed something, they did it. They did it willingly and gladly. And again, because at the same time, it wasn't a command. It was a request. You know, and I think that makes the difference sometimes. You can't just tell somebody to do something. Okay, because sometimes it comes across as being harsh, and these things matter to somebody. You know, it's not a direct get it done and get it done now. And one thing I've always found, okay, that holds true till today, I always told it like it was. I didn't sugarcoat anything. It wasn't a question of being rude, but just tell the facts for what they are and what they represent. People appreciate that. They don't want to hear 16 paragraphs to say, listen, I can't do it. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, again, people appreciate the honesty. So
Ken, I'm going to ask you to be really honest right now.
Yeah.
Because I know over the years people have come to you with this question.
All right.
Or come to you with a complaint. Yeah. So tell us once and for all, what is the ideal temperature for an office to be at in your mind?
Oh, here we go again. Okay. If you take it. We used to go through this with real estate. Frank Erickson and I used to battle this out all the time, okay? Because you had to understand, to try to keep the carbon footprint down, you want to use less electric. In order to do that, the summertime, they rather keep it, most people like it between 70 and 72. We were told to try and keep it between 75 and 78. 78 is kind of high, but maybe around 75.
Yeah.
But at certain occasions, it would have been 78. Even in the wintertime. You don't want to put that much heat out there, so we used to try and leave it at about 65. But again, most people like it about 68, and again, 70. 70 seemed to be the magic number. So the challenge was, and always was, for all the years that I was there, you know, you get phone calls, I'm hot and I'm cold. And I was going to say, hi, I'm Ken. Now, what would you like me to do?
You may have said that to me one time, Ken.
I don't, because the truth of the matter is there wasn't really much that we, I shouldn't say that. We tried to accommodate as much as we possibly could, you know. The only time that we really, became difficult is if seat A was cold and seat B was warm. Now what do you do? Now you're sitting there scratching your head. That's why when they built out 75 to help alleviate that problem, and not because we didn't want the phone calls, but to give people more control over their environment, when they built out 75, they put thermostats all over. But those thermostats were only good to adjust maybe 2 degrees. So you couldn't affect the entire, you know, area you were sitting in. But again, it was to give you just a little bit more comfort that they possibly could have.
I still want to know how you feel personally. Like, what's your ideal inside temperature for you?
Me inside? Again, I like it between 70 and 70. In the wintertime, about 72, to be honest with you. In the summertime, maybe around 68-ish, 69. So.
That's fair. We get along quite well in the same house.
Yeah.
So, hey, Ken, you know what? Whether it's 70 or 76, and I'm going to tell my dad joke here, you'll always have 100% of our hearts here at KPMG Montvale. I want to thank you so much for joining us. This has been a real thrill.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. I really do. It's nice to know I'm still remembered.
You cannot be forgotten, Ken.
Never. Thanks for listening to the Montvale Muse. We hope you enjoyed hearing from Ken as much as we did. To nominate yourself or a colleague to be a guest on this show, reach out to me at jdeprospero@kpmg.com. We'll see you next time.